to keep our faith fed. We need to keep our faith strong, especially in certain areas. And I know this is one area that we all will find ourselves dealing with, is confronting the attacks of the enemy in our bodies, and also the fact that what our bodies are not fully redeemed yet, are they? Amen? However, there is a redemptive aspect of the covenant that relates to our present physical bodies, healing and well-being. Amen? And we want to know what that is. We want to know what the Word teaches about it. We want to get our faith built strong in that. Because I am one of those, I'm always wanting to shoot for God's best. I am just not an 80%er. I can't go there. You know, sometimes your flesh says, you know, you ought to just, you know, calm down, take it easy. But it doesn't work. Amen? Because there's somebody in me that is not an 80%er. Come on. I don't believe God's an 80%er. Amen. And the greater one is in us. And so he keeps urging me not to settle for second best, but to reach for God's best. Amen. Now, I know God has different callings and different things for every one of us. But I believe this. When it comes to the covenant, God's purpose is that every one of us can have his best. Are you listening? I might not be an apostle, I might not be a pastor, I might not be a missionary, but I'm a child of God, and as a child of God in the covenant, God wants me to have the best. Amen, his best that he's provided. He doesn't want you to have the best, me to have second best, or vice versa. Amen? And it really doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or whatever, that doesn't mean that God has better for them and less for you. You need... Can we silence that thing somehow? Oh, yep. All right, let's see here. Let's, where we want to start at tonight with our lesson, let's turn over to Proverbs 4. That's a good place as any to start. Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 20. Where I want to get to is, and we're going to look at it tonight in some detail. I'm going to start here, but we're going to look in Isaiah 53, the great redemptive chapter there, when we look at the prophecy concerning Jesus there, what he bore. And I believe this with all my heart. Whatever Jesus bore for me at Calvary, I do not have to bear. Otherwise, why did he bear it? Isn't that right? If he bore my sins, the reason was what? He didn't want me to what? Have to bear those sins. If his chastisement was to take away my anxieties and fears so that I could have his peace, guess what? I don't have to bear those anxieties and fears. I can have his peace. Isn't that right? And if, I'm not saying he has, we're going to look at it and see, but if he bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, then he doesn't want me to bear those either. That's right. We'll look at that in a minute. But here in Proverbs 4, as I said, we want to keep our faith built up in the things of God. And I think there's certain areas that especially we want to, you know. I love end time prophecy and all that. That's all good and well. But you know what? Jesus is coming back whether I've got all my time charts together or not. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter whether I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or pan-trib. It doesn't matter. Jesus is coming back. You've heard me tell you what my pan-trib is, don't you? That is after you've studied the pre-tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and the post-tribulation. Then the pan-trib is this: whichever one of those that you lean toward, just remember this. The bottom line is Jesus is coming back and everything's going to pan out all right. That's why it's the pan trib. Now, that's not biblical theology, but it's some good Christian common sense. Isn't that right? Sometimes, you know, we're so busy with that we don't build ourselves up in the things that relate to everyday Christian living. Amen? In our prayer life. In walking in the health and the benefits of the covenant, so that what? That we can number one, we can demonstrate our redemption to the world. But number two, if I've got good health, guess what? I'm going to be more effective in serving the Lord. I mean, you know, God's very practical. Amen? He's very practical. He gave you a body so that you could, what? You could dwell here on the earth. Amen? Because as soon as you lay down this earth suit, guess what? You're off to another realm. Isn't that right? Sure. All right, Proverbs 4, verse 20. It said, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Wow. Keep them within your heart. Why? For they are life, life to those who find them, and get this, and health to a man's whole body. Health to a man's whole body. Now, you can't misunderstand what he's referring to there. That's not, that first part was spiritual, but the second part, a man's whole body, how many of you know your body's not a spiritual thing? You don't believe it? Let your neighbor reach over there and pinch you. It's not a spiritual thing. That's a real deal, isn't it? Absolutely. So he said, not only will this word be life to your spirit, which we understand, of course, but he said it will also be health to a man's whole body. Amen. You know what your body is, don't you? It's that thing you feed all the time, put those nice clothes on, you know, you slick. That's your body. He said, if you, but now notice, you know, I tell people it's like, you know, if you've ever gone to a doctor and he gave you a prescription for some medicine, you know, and you go and you get that medicine filled, you know, how many of you know the medicine won't do you any good if you just set it right there on, you know, your vanity in your bathroom or beside the bed. If you just set it there and look at that and say, boy, I'll tell you what, now I went to the best doctor in town. He diagnosed my case, and this is the medicine, and, you know. But how many times do we do that when it comes to this? It's laying up on the side table. We go by, we go, boy, that's God's word. We dust it off, that's God's word. But how many of you know, just like that medicine, it won't do us any good unless what? We take it. And even then, it has to be taken right. Because you'll notice on every one of those prescriptions you ever gotten from a doctor, it will always tell you how much to take and how often. Isn't that right? And the reason is because if that medicine is not in your bloodstream at a proper level, it really won't do you any good. Isn't that true? And so that's the whole reason behind that. Take it three times, take it two times, take it whatever it is, so much. Because the doctor knows if it stays in your bloodstream at that level, it's going to be effective. And if you don't, it won't be. And then you can get mad, you know, and say, you know, that doctor's a quack and all that kind of thing. But if you're not taking your medicine, whose fault is that? Jesus said that his word is like medicine. One translation even says that it's medicine to your flesh. But you've got to take it according to the prescription. See, we want to hit and miss. We want a wonder gospel pill. Take it one time and I'm cured for life. Come on. Oh, man, I read the Bible. I heard a message on healing way back about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Yeah, but you know what? You need to keep the strength level up much higher than that. Come on. That I'm not saying it is the reason, but it could be the reason why you might be struggling in this area. Maybe you're not feeding your faith enough. You're not keeping the level enough, because notice what he said here. He was quite emphatic, wasn't he? He said, first of all, he said, pay attention to what I say. I know some people, you know, they come to church and their mind wanders. They can't focus on the, you know, for 30, 45 minutes on the lesson. Their mind wanders. You know, I say it humorously sometimes. I say, you know, they're taking a European tour while I'm trying to teach them. Or they're on vacation, or they're thinking about their meal or whatever. He says, you got to pay attention. You can't just whether you're reading the Bible for yourself or you're in a class like this or a service or something and somebody is teaching you or whatever, you can't just let your mind wander and you're all over the place and then you wonder, well, I don't get nothing when I go there. Well, he said the first thing is you got to pay attention. What does that mean? That means you got to focus this thing right up here, this bump on top of your shoulders. You got to focus it. We live in a society where, it's set up more and more to make that harder for us to do. We're the generation of the sound bite. Isn't that right? The quick video blur. Tweet me. Come on. or whatever. Isn't that the right term? Tweet. Tweet. Don't go there now. So what happens, though, is it gets harder and harder for us to concentrate. You know, we don't read as much as we used to. We don't exercise this thing. And so we don't focus. And then he says, if you don't pay attention, he said, what? This prescription's not going to work for you. So he said, first thing is, he said, don't let them out of your sight. Come on. I know, listen, again, I'm just making a comparison here. I know people who've facing some serious life-threatening sicknesses and diseases, and I'm telling you, bless their heart, the things they have gone through trying to fight that thing and to be cured of that thing. I mean, just, surgeries on top of surgeries and all kinds of treatments and this and that, and man, and I think, man, those are some tough people. Those are some people who want to get well. But yet, many times those same people, you can't get them to just get in the book. How easy is that? It's not painful. It don't hurt you. Just get in the book. We tell them, look, get in the Word day and night, day and night. That's too hard. But, I mean, man, you've had all these surgeries. You've had all these treatments. You've had all these. Man, if you can do that, how hard is it to get into this? And just get into it. He said, don't let it depart from before your eyes. He said, keep them before your sight. See, I want to preface this because when I teach this in a little bit, see, our tendency is to just go, whoopee, Jesus cured my sicknesses. I got it made. Well, not if you don't take your medicine. And if you don't take it the way the Lord said to take it. See, that's our problem sometimes. We don't pay attention, so then we just go and do it our way. How many of you know, the Frank Sinatra way of the gospel don't work. Does anybody know what I mean by that? Some of you older folks can explain it to some of the younger folks. You know, he had that famous song, I Did It My Way. He said, keep them within your heart. You know, here the word heart is referring what? Not to the physical organ, it's referring to what? The inner man, isn't it? The spirit man. Because that's where faith is generated. Faith is generated in the spirit, the heart of man. For with the heart, man believeth. Romans 10. For with the heart, the spirit, man believeth. Amen? Whether it's unto salvation in the new birth or unto salvation, healing in the body. That word salvation, it's all, it's all the same. It comes from the same root word. So it's talking about, not only the saving of the spirit, but also the saving of the soul and the saving of the body. Amen? God wants to save every part of you. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? All right. So he said, listen to them. Give your attention to them. So the key point is what? First of all, is we've got to find God's word. What does God say about healing? Now, let's look at some types here real quickly. Because what we really want to establish is, tonight I want to establish and reaffirm to those of you who may already know this, but here's the thing. Did Jesus redeem us from our sicknesses and diseases? Could you go ask him to turn that down just a little bit? Because I don't know if it's bothering anybody else, but it's distracting me. Well, I want you to hear it too. So it's kind of... I'm not smart enough to keep two things going at one time. I'm doing good just to follow one thought. But what I want to establish tonight is this. Did Jesus redeem us from our sicknesses and diseases when he redeemed us from our sins? Because if we can establish that from the Word clearly, I'm not talking about just taking some snatch of Scripture here or there, but I'm talking about if we can clearly show that Jesus did that, then that would mean that he wants us to be as free from sicknesses and disease as we are from sin. Come on. How many of you know the Bible doesn't just teach us that God provided forgiveness of sins, he's provided for us to be delivered from the power of it. See, we've watered it down. You know, it's just forgiveness, just forget. I'm forgiven. Well, you are forgiven. But he doesn't want you just, you know, to remain in sin. The power of God's redemptive grace is that it delivers you, okay, from the power of sin. Can you hear a holy grunt? Isn't that true? All right, so let's look at the Bible. Some of the types of atonement that relate to bodily healing. Turn to Exodus 12. Some of these we will look at real quickly. Some a little longer. Exodus 12, you know this. This has to do with the first Passover meal. God instituted it here. Remember, you know the story. Israel had been in bondage about 430 years in Egypt. God was about to bring them out. You know, he brought all the judgments because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. You know, you're familiar with all that. Okay? Now, let's pick it up in verse 8 of chapter 12. It says, that same night, They are to eat the meat roasted over the fire. Now, you know, before that, he said, when they kill the lamb, they take the blood and they put it over what? The post, the lintel and the side post of the door. And then when the angel of death came by, God said, when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over. That's where you get the term, pass over you. So the blood, okay, delivered them. Okay, from judgment. The blood stood for what? Redemption, didn't it? But now notice, he didn't just say, okay, catch the blood, put it over there, and then just discard the carcass. No, the whole thing was going to be used. Notice in verse 8. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till the morning. If some of it is left in the morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, the Israelites ate the flesh of the lamb, what? For physical strength. The blood delivered them from the judgment of death. But they ate the lamb itself, okay? And what did that do? It gave them physical strength. Physical strength. So here we see the lamb not only provided deliverance from judgment, redemption from death and judgment, it also was used to what? Provide strength for the journey, for their physical body. And we know that this lamb here was a type of Jesus, the Passover lamb. Amen? So not only was the blood applied, but also what? The body was applied. This is why when we have the Lord's table, we not only have the cup, but we also have the bread. Because it is a full redemption. It is a full redemption. And Paul admonished the Corinthian church. He said, because you eat and partake of the Lord's table unworthily and in ignorance, he said, many of you, he said, you have died before your time. Because see, too often we only really discern the blood aspect, and thank God we do that. Thank God. But we also need to discern the whole body. Okay, so this is one of the types. One of the types. Every time you see healing, and we won't have time, just jot down this scripture reference, Leviticus 14:18. and Leviticus 25:9. But every time an atonement is made, it's always in connection with bodily healing. With bodily healing, there is always an atonement that is made. You remember when the judgment broke out and the fiery serpents went there, it said that Aaron ran through the midst of the congregation and made an atonement. And when he made the atonement, what happened? The plague stopped, the serpent stopped, people stopped dying. One of the things he said, put the serpent on the pole. Remember that? He said, look at the serpent. Now, wasn't that a strange thing? Why would God say, look at the serpent? Because the serpent represented what? The curse. And if you read Galatians 3, it says that Jesus was made to be a curse for us. And he said, whoever looked on Jesus, whoever looked on that would be healed. Why? Because that represented what? It took my curse. He took my curse. And the curse is not only separation from God through sin, but also it affected the body. When God made Adam, he made Adam to live forever. Now, Adam was not immortal. He was eternal. Now, what's the difference? Eternal means he was designed to live forever. Immortal means he was not subject to death. But of course he was, because he told him, he said, if you sin, you're going to die. Isn't that right? See, you and I, what we're going to get when we get the brand new body, we get an immortal body. Means what? Not subject to death. Not subject to death. In other words, death will not have any more power over your body. Amen? Hallelujah. Won't that be a great day? Hallelujah. We'll be set free. Now, in Leviticus 25, that was the year of Jubilee. Now, some of these I'm just kind of skipping a rock and hitting high points. You can go back and read it. In the year of Jubilee, it was the Jubilee was not initiated until after or on the Day of Atonement. The high priest would go in. He offered the sacrifice. He sounded the silver trumpet of Jubilee, redemption throughout all the land. And if you read there, it said that every man was to return to his, what? Own possession, his original possession. In those days, if a man lost his house, he got his house back. If he lost his property, he got his property back. If his sons and daughters had been sold into servitude to pay off the debt, they went free and came back. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been alive in the year of Jubilee? Can you imagine that guy? He's lost everything, and he's working over here, and mama's working over there, and the kids are working over here. And and he knows, boy, tomorrow, man, that priest is going to go in there. He's gonna make that sacrifice, man. And when that trumpet sounds, oh, boys, I'm out of here. I can hear him tell, boy, I'll tell you what, tomorrow when that trumpet sounds, I just want you to know, boss, man, I'm out of here. Me and mom going to go by and get mama, and, man, we're going back to the house. We're going to get a brand new start. That's what it was about, the year of Jubilee. Well, see, that was a type as well. God in Jesus is what? Restoring us back, what? To our own possession. What is our own possession? First of all, right relationship with God. Amen. Forgiveness of sin, the new birth. Sin has no more dominion over you. Okay? But also what? We're to receive the first fruits of the resurrection, which is what? Healing in our bodies. See, we have the first fruits in redemption. What is it? The seal of the Holy Spirit. The seal of the Holy Spirit. That, you know what that is? The Bible says, you know, as wonderful it is as salvation is right now, as wonderful as the presence of God is in your life right now, as wonderful as the Holy Spirit is in your life and His power and all of that, God says that's just a down payment. That's just a down payment. Compared to the fullness of it. And so healing is also a down payment or a first fruits of what God has promised in the resurrection. Amen? See, the seal of the Holy Spirit witnesses to me that everything Jesus purchased for me, I'm going to get it all. I got the down payment, I'm going to get the whole deal. Amen? Healing in our bodies that God's provided is also a first fruits testimony to the resurrection of our bodies. Amen. It's a down payment. You don't get a new body when you get healed. You still got your same old body. Sorry about that. because sometimes people want to take things to extreme. But listen, God wants to bring healing to our whole being here, and it be a first fruits testimony to the fullness of redemption that was settled once and for all at Calvary. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, there is no provision for us in the New Testament outside of what Jesus did at Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, you know, all of that. There is no blessing outside of that. Are you listening? There is no blessing outside of that. That's what amazes me. To me, that's so clear. People, you know, because some people say, well, yeah, God can heal if he wants to, but that's not part of the covenant. Well, then how do we get it? Did I earn that? I just thought we had a big, long teaching here on grace that said we couldn't earn any of those stuff. So if it didn't come through what Jesus did, how did we get it? Isn't that right? I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the way God has provided. He's provided for everything pertaining unto life, this life, and godliness. It all came through Jesus. So all the glory goes to God. Isn't that right? And let me just say this. I think you know this, but in case we have somebody. We're not against doctors and medical science. Thank God for all they can do. But you know what? They're limited. And here's the thing. Wouldn't it be great we get our faith to the place where we can grab hold of this covenant benefit and you wouldn't have to go to the doctor? Think all the money you'd save. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Isn't that right? I mean, Jesus is the painless physician. You know, you see those years ago, you know, you see those signs, painless dentist. Well, he's the painless physician. Amen. Amen. He's good at transplants. He's a cancer specialist. He's good at, man, he's an expert at rheumatism. I mean, he just does it all. But here's the thing. We've got to get to the place where we do that. If you want to read about the brazen serpent I just alluded to as a type of Christ, that's in Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And Galatians 3:13 talks about Jesus being made a curse for us. As a matter of fact, you remember Jesus himself said, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Wait a minute. He's not a serpent, he's a lamb, but he was made to be a curse for us. That serpent represented what? The curse. And so Jesus bore that for us because, do you know, when you read in Genesis, there is no mention of sickness and disease until after Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says that death entered into the world through sin, and that sin by one man, Adam, isn't that right? Well, isn't sickness incipient death? If you don't get better, guess what's going to happen? It's going to lead to death. That's death, isn't it? So that's not part of God's plan. It happened as a result of man's disobedience. And so, to deliver us, he sent Jesus. Amen? Now, just a little bit more proof. The seven redemptive names of God. These names, these redemptive names, is a self-revelation of God, his character, and also what he's provided for us in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm just going to hit these real quickly. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can what? Boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Now, is that still true for us today? Was that just for the early church, or is that true for us? Is the Lord still present with us today? Yes. Is he still living in you as a believer? Yes. Okay. So far we're doing good, right? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Isaiah 53:5, Romans 5:1 talks about him being our peace. Therefore, being justified by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Was that just for the early church, or is that for us too? Okay, so far we're 2 for 2. So what they had, we've got, right? Jehovah Roah, the Roe, the Lord my shepherd. I don't think that we need to say too much about that. Nobody is going to deny that. Is Jesus still our shepherd? He's still the great shepherd, isn't he? Psalm 23, you know that. John 10:14, he said, I'm the good shepherd. All right, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Is he still our provider? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that still true for us? Was that just the early church? That was for us too. Okay, so let's see. We're 1, 2, 3. We're 4 for 4. That's pretty good. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord, our banner, or our victor, or our captain. 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says that Jesus, when he arose, he threw off principalities and powers. He destroyed all of them. Well, did he do that for us, or did he just do that for the early church? For us too. So we're 5 for 5. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he's our Jehovah Tsidkenu. Hallelujah. So we're like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for 6 so far. All right, so that leaves one left. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord our healer. So now wait a minute. 6 out of 7 wouldn't be too bad. 6 out of 7. That's pretty good. 6 out of 7. Well, why not 7 out of 7? If all the other 6 are provided for us through Christ Jesus and his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, why would the 7th redemptive name, the Lord our healer, why would that be any different? Why would, if God heals us outside of the atonement, why is it that this one redemptive aspect of God is revealed outside of what his son Jesus did, but all the other 6 aspects are revealed within it? You can see when you look at this that really when we try to separate healing from the atonement, from the redemptive work of Jesus at Calvary, it just doesn't fly. It just doesn't work. It doesn't agree and harmonize with scriptures, with the character of God, and with all the types we could look at in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus. Amen? So Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, our healer, then that also would have to be included in what Jesus did at Calvary. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 53. With that background, now we're ready. I'm ready to get into my lesson. You know teachers, you know. They go around the world to make a point, don't they? Isaiah 53. But this is important. And I want you to have a good, solid foundation of Scripture. You're not thinking, you know, I don't want to be one of these just grabs a snatch of Scripture somewhere and just throw you out there on that thing and you're trying to build some kind of faith for it and some kind of truth for it and try for something this important in your life. I want you to know that you know that you know this is biblical. This is solid. This is orthodox. This is what God has provided. This is not some strange, wild, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever doctrine. This is biblical Christianity. Amen? In Isaiah 53, we'll begin with verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, the words there, infirmities, sorrows, I think, what does the King James say? Sorrows and griefs, griefs and sorrows. Those are 2 Hebrew words, and I'm going to give them to you, but I encourage you, you go and you look them up for yourself, okay? But I'm going to give them to you here. The word griefs and sorrows really should have been, and these same Hebrew words throughout the Old Testament and other places are translated this way. You know, now don't misunderstand. I love the King James. What a wonderful, beautiful translation of God's Word that is. And I thank God because who knows how many millions and millions and millions and millions of people are saved and blessed and so forth. So don't misunderstand me when I say this. But there are inconsistencies in the way they translated certain words, and I do not know why. I don't know if they looked at it and they just thought, well, that can't really mean this, and so they just decided to put their own word there. But these words here, I'm going to give them for you, and you can look them up if you've got a Strong's, or if you're young in the Lord, get a Young's Concordance. But either way, they're going to say the same. These words, the word grief, comes from the Hebrew word choli, C-H-O-L-I, and it's translated disease and sickness in Deuteronomy 7:15, Deuteronomy 28:61, 1 Kings 17:17, 2 Kings 1:2, 2 Kings 8:8, 2 Chronicles 16:12, and you see what I mean. Now, why is it that they translated it there? They translated the disease or sickness, but here they decided to call it griefs. Now, I'll agree with you. If you've ever been very sick or had to deal with any disease, it is a grief thing. Yeah, it causes a lot of grief, but let's just call it what it is. It's a sickness. It's a disease. And it says, surely he bore what? Our sicknesses and our diseases. Well, it had to, he's talking here prophetically about Jesus at Calvary. Jesus was never sick in his earthly ministry. Not a second. Not a millisecond. Not a nanosecond. However, how you can break it down. Never was he sick, was he? Never. Never. Sickness had no power over him. He walked, he demonstrated. Wherever he went, he opened blind eyes. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper. He opened deaf ears. I mean, he proved his mastery over sickness and disease wherever he went. Isn't that true? So you know he wasn't sick. So when is it talking about him bearing our sicknesses? It's got to be talking about the suffering servant here at Calvary. And it wasn't his, it was yours. Hallelujah. That's good news. He bore yours. Are you listening? You ever heard, you notice how people, even Christians sometimes who don't know the Bible, they talk about my sickness? And I'm like, well, why did you make it yours? It says here, he bore your sicknesses. Well, let me ask you this. Let's back up. How many of your sins did he bear? 98% of them. You better hope it's 100%, because if it didn't, boy, you're cooked, literally. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that true? Well, when it says he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, then how many of those must it imply that he took? All of them. Now, I've had people ask me that. Well, yeah, Pastor Norris, that's all well and good, but now if the Lord took all my sicknesses and all my diseases, how come I'm not well? I said, well, I'll answer that if you can answer me this. It says that Jesus bore this, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Why isn't everybody saved? You see, the answer to that's the answer to the other one. Isn't that right? There are conditions that have to be met. It's not automatic. People have to hear, don't they? He said, how can they be saved unless they hear? That's why we send missions. That's why we're on the radio. That's why we have a website. That's why we do those things that we do. That's why you're out in the highways and byways as you have opportunity and you're sharing with people, because it doesn't just come on them because of what Jesus did. It's available to everybody because of what Jesus did. It's provided for everybody because of what Jesus did. But it's not automatic. We've got to hear. We've got to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So some people haven't heard. That's one of the reasons some aren't saved. The other reason is some people haven't believed. Same thing concerning this thing about sickness and disease. Some haven't heard and some haven't believed. That's what it boils down to. Amen? Thank God you're not going to be in the former anymore because you're hearing tonight. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. You're hearing the truth. It's right there in your lap. And no, I like what it says here. It says, surely. Surely, surely. Surely he did. He surely did. And see, this is why he says you got to continue in. Remember Proverbs 4? He said, pay attention. Look closely. Keep them, what? Before your eyes. Keep them in your heart. You know why? Because your mind is going to say something different. And I can guarantee you, if you've got any kind of pain or sickness attacking your body, it is going to say something different. Come on. Come on. Sure. Sure. See, we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned. That's why as soon as we get back from the doctor, all of a sudden now it's my sickness. It's my disease. Amen? I mean, the doctor told me it was mine. Well, Jesus said he took yours. Remember, we used to sing that song years ago, Whose Report Are You Going to Believe? Is it your sickness because somebody said it's yours, or did Jesus take your sickness? Isn't that right? Why are you going? How many of you planning to go to heaven? Well, how do you know that? Huh? Jesus paid. He paid it all. He did. You think I could talk you out of it? See, when you get that way about healing, see, healing will be in your body. See, I could try to talk you out. I could try to get all kinds. No, why? Because, see, you're not dealing just from this. Sure, you know the word. But also what? Faith strong in there. And it's like Brother Roberts used to say, you know because you know that you know that you know because you know that you know that you know because you know that you know that you know. You know? It's, you know, but that's what it takes, isn't it? To that point, see? And why is it? See, because in the church universal, we've been taught the new birth. We've been taught forgiveness of sin. We've been taught that. Amen? Nobody gets uptight about, you know, when we talk about being born again. But you know what? There was a day when that was a radical idea. That was a radical concept. Come on. And the church as a whole, that was radical. They threw Wesley out of the church for preaching that. Wouldn't even let, I mean, right in the middle of the sermon. I mean, they went up and grabbed him out of the pulpit and threw him out of the church. Said he went out, they had the graveyards, you know, around by the church in those days. He said he stood up on his daddy's tombstone and finished the service. I mean, finished the message. Couldn't throw him out of there because, you know, they owned the plot. But see, you know, nobody gets all uptight about it, you know. You get up here and talk about God wants to save everybody. Everybody can be saved. But man, that was radical in his day. But now God is wanting to reveal to us that, look, just like everybody can be saved, that Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and you can also be healed in your body. Amen. But see, we've got to build our faith to the same degree in healing that we've got in the new birth. I'm going to heaven, bless God. I'm healed. See, what we need to look at is this way, is Jesus said that Satan is what? A thief. What does a thief do by definition? He steals. Okay. So, sickness and disease are stealing something from you. Health. So, who is behind that? Either directly or indirectly, he is behind it because he is the thief, isn't he? So, instead of that being your sickness, my sickness, it is the enemy stealing my health. So, what do we need to do? We need to stand in faith on our covenant rights and put the thief to flight. Isn't that right? When the enemy comes and accuses you and says, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. God don't love you, what do?
That's right, I do it.
I hope you don't. No, we've been taught what we rise up and say, no, listen, I know my covenant. Jesus bore my sins. Amen. Absolutely. He took all my sins. I'm redeemed. I'm saved by grace. Jesus did it. Well, why can't we do the same thing when it comes to sickness and disease? We rise up and say, wait a minute, devil, no, you're a thief. You're here trying to steal. This is not my sickness and disease. This is your junk. Jesus took mine. You're trying to steal my health. You're trying to steal my years down here in service to God. You're trying to steal my joy. Whatever it is, you're trying to steal my peace. Isn't that what? He's a thief. When a thief comes, if he's a thief, he's going to steal something. Same thing true concerning sickness and disease. Now, the word also is translated sorrows. Makob means, it's translated pain. P-A-I-N, pain. Now, keep your place there at Isaiah 53 for a moment. I want you to turn over to Matthew 8 because the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Shazam. Isn't that deep? But it is. As simple as that is, it's it. So let's just see what did the Holy Spirit here in Matthew in the New Testament, what did he think Isaiah 53 met? Because after all, didn't he write both? He wrote Isaiah 53. He also wrote Matthew 8, didn't he? The Holy Spirit, wasn't he the author of both of them? So it's a good thing he's not schizophrenic, right? He's not going to mean one thing in Isaiah 53, and then he's going to mean something else in Matthew 8. Isn't that right? We'll back up in verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. That's Isaiah 53:4 he's quoting. So that those two words did mean sicknesses and diseases because by the Holy Spirit's own commentary, he's quoting it. This is what I say. Why didn't they translate it the same way? It wouldn't have confused people so much. Why didn't the King James translator, if they translate it the same way in both places, it wouldn't have been so confusing. But as we look at the words, as we study it out, we see this is what he's talking about. Now, when Jesus forgave sins in his earthly ministry, he did so looking forward to Calvary. Are you listening to me? Yeah, remember, I've talked to you before about this time stuff. That is something that we mortals relate to. Time means nothing to God. Can I hear a holy grunt? Boy, that's true sometimes. Have you ever found out you're always in a hurry compared to God, it seems? God, you should have done this yesterweek. Not yesterday, but yesterweek, yestermonth, yesteryear. God just does not worry about our little time frame. Isn't that right? That doesn't mean he's unconcerned and he doesn't realize that you're limited by time. But he knows this. Hey, he's the smartest person in the room. So he ain't going to change. I mean, hey. It's not an ego thing with God. It's just a fact. He's always the smartest person in the room, so there's no reason for him to change. There's no use for him hooking up with what we think it ought to be. He's the smartest person in the room, isn't that right? Even in the natural, that's generally the best way to go, isn't it? The smartest person in the room. Hallelujah. So he bore our sickness, he carried our diseases, and we need to establish that and get that settled. Jesus did that at Calvary. He did it at Calvary. It's settled. It's settled. It's settled. Now, we've got to settle it, in our heart. We've got to say, just like we're settled, that we're forgiven, that heaven is our home, that Jesus did that. He paid the price for that. He paid the price for this. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So sin and sickness, have passed from us to Calvary. Now, you remember in the under the old covenant, remember, that they always, there was not just the sacrifice, but also there was another lamb or goat that was not sacrifice that was used, that was called the scapegoat. Remember that? And so they sacrificed one, caught the blood, you know, sprinkled the blood according as God had told the high priest to do it, especially over the mercy seat in the prescribed manner and so forth. Then he said, now the second one, the scapegoat, the priest, what the priest would do is the priest would lay his hands on the head of the scapegoat, and all the sins and all the iniquities and everything, what, was transferred onto that goat, and the goat was led out into the wilderness to die. Isn't that right? Now, in the same way, Jesus, though, he fulfilled both. He was the lamb without spot. He shed his blood. Amen? But also, he was the scapegoat. So that all of our sins and all of our diseases, what? Were transferred over to him by who? By the Father. And he died, what? Outside the camp. Outside the city, didn't he? So you see the type fulfilled in Jesus. This is why, even under the Old Testament, they could come to the priest, and because the covenant that had to be renewed then, but the covenant was renewed every year, but because they were under that covenant, and they were covenant Israelites, they could come and come to the priest any time during that year, and they could receive healing. Come on. As a matter of fact, if you read over there with some of the prophets, God got pretty stern about some of the priests because he said, you're not healing the people anymore. You're not providing healing. I mean, he got mad. Mad. Come on. Because even under the old covenant, there was healing. And God was upset when the shepherds didn't provide it. Read it over there. Yeah, he wasn't happy about it. See, we think, oh, it's not that big a deal. Well, if it's a big deal with God, remember what I said about the smartest person in the room? When the smartest person in the room says it's a big deal, then it's a big deal. Isn't that right? Some different translations of these literal translations I think is good. Dr. Young, I mentioned Young's concordance, you know, where you can look up every word, what the meaning of it is. He translated it this way, verse 4, Isaiah 53:4. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them. He is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. Now that was Dr. Young. Dr. Isaac Lesser was a great student of the Hebrew. He put it this way. He said, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. And through his bruises was healing granted to us. Rotherham's translation says, he hath laid on him sickness. Wow. Now, remember what we said about the scapegoat. It says, you know, it transferred to him. And then it says, he bore those things out into the wilderness. Well, that same word used there, nasa, to bear, is used here in Isaiah 53 where it says, surely he hath borne. What does that mean? Carried away. He carried, just like that scapegoat left and carried away that. Jesus carried away our sins, and he carried away our sickness and diseases. See, that's why there's no more remembrance, because when God looks, it's been carried away. It's been carried away. I said, it's been carried away. Your sickness, your disease, what Jesus carried away. So, in looking at all of this, what can we say about where we are today? Has God's will changed? Has God changed? Has the new covenant changed? Then the only thing we can conclude is that somehow we have changed. Isn't that right? And so we need to change again. Amen? And come into what? Harmony, agreement, alignment with what God reveals in His covenant. And that is what? He has borne my sickness. He's carried them away. Now, devil, you can bring some mess in here, but I got news for you. That's your stuff. That ain't mine. I ain't putting my name on it. I'm not saying it's mine. I'm not saying it's mine. That's not mine. Jesus carried mine. This is your mess. You can just take it right back out. Come on. This is the attitude we have to have when it comes to sickness and disease. Does it mean that the devil will never attack you? Does it mean that no, I'm telling you, he's going to come against you, but listen, you need to know what to do. Don't just lay down. Amen? I've run into some Christians and said, well, you know, it might be God's will for you to be sick. And I said, well, let me ask you something here. Why are you going to the doctor? If the doctor gets you better, isn't he getting you out of the will of God? Something's not right somewhere. That's fine if that's what you believe, but you need to, you know, live what you believe. If you believe that sickness is making you better, if it's the will of God, then it would be wrong for you to get it off prematurely. You need to just suffer on through it. The more you suffer, the holier you're going to get, according to your theology. I'm not joking. See, we're inconsistent, aren't we? We need to be consistent. If that's what we really believe, then that's what we should do. I'm not poking fun at anybody. But, you know, it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's real easy to do that. To be double-minded, and we don't even realize we're being double-minded about this. So what we've got to do is we've got to get it settled. Get it settled. Now, see, this is one of those things. Listen, I mean, you know, if you don't agree with me, it doesn't matter. You're still going to heaven. If you don't agree that Jesus has taken all your diseases and that healing's for you, you know what? God still loves you. You're still going to heaven. But here's the thing. Why not go for God's best? Why not go for God's best? Why not go for all He has for us in the covenant? So my time's up, but I want to encourage you. Take these scriptures you've jotted down. Go look at them for yourself. Go look at them for yourself. Study them out for yourself. It's not enough to just say, well, in my opinion. Well, what's your opinion based on? Until you go do some study for yourself, you can't have an opinion where the contrary are in agreement, can you? So go study for yourself. You know, get the Word for yourself. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Bible. God will show you. And it will either be confirmed or He'll show you, okay, you know, here's where it is. But at least then you've got a basis for your faith. Amen? But remember, it's not automatic. It's not automatic. Even when you see it, it's not automatic. You got to, what? Proverbs 4. Yep. Pay attention. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Keep focused on it. Isn't that right? Because sooner or later, you're going to need it. Because the enemy is going to attack you. Your body is not yet redeemed fully. Amen? If it was, I'd still have all the hair I had when I got married. That would be nice. Hallelujah. So, sure. So, go study it out. Next Wednesday, we're going to do one more lesson on this, and then we're going to start our new class. And let me just say this. If you haven't registered for the new classes, you can sign up at the table out there before you leave. There's registration things back there on the you can sign up. But, you know, but here's the thing. Some of you, maybe I didn't make it clear, you only sign up for one class. Don't sign up for two or three. Although we'd love to see how you do that. We want you to just sign up for one because I'm not sure. Nobody